Welcome, Mal Murray.
Hello.
You're going to be up at the Edinburgh Festival in August. Can you tell us a little bit about your show?
Well, I've been on tour all year. Last year I went to Edinburgh and did 2 weeks basically finishing off writing the show that I'm touring. And I've toured the show since then. So I'm kind of going back to offer up the rounded off and shone up object to the Edinburgh audience.
So many listeners know you as Al Murray the pub landlord, but you started your career doing sound effect impressions.
Well, basically, it was a pub trick. And when I left uni, I thought, well, how can I extend my student lifestyle? And I'd turned it into a kind of act. And I thought, well, I want to try being a comic. And that sort of filled the gap for quite a while, doing the sound effects thing. And then I struck on the pub landlord and was able to ditch making stupid noises.
Oh, no, because my favourite one is the...
Oh, the car boot opening.
No. The Geordie Whale.
Oh, yes, that's part of the pub landlord thing, is he does the Geordie Whale song thing, yeah. Yeah.
Can you give us a bit?
Well, it's the idea that I do a thing where I go around the whole of the UK and find the different sounds of the different bits of the UK, and the Geordie Whale song is the woo like that, because it, to my mind, it sounds a lot like woo way yo you bastard like that. It sounds quite whale songish. I might do that tonight. I didn't know what was going. I haven't decided what stuff to do this evening. I might do that.
I think you should, definitely. Well, it's my favourite anyway.
Good.
So what inspired your character, the pub landlord?
Well, he was born out of necessity. I was doing a show in Edinburgh with Harry Hill in 1994, and the show was called Pub International, and we had a band called The Pub Band that played at the end of the show, and we had a gap in the running order, literally. We hadn't figured out how we were going to introduce all the different segments, because there's sort of four or five items in it. And the first night we're there, and we're in a bar a bit like this in Edinburgh, and I said, well, why don't we say that the compere didn't show up, and that the barman, the landlord, has offered to fill in. And Harry was kind of like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. And that's what I did. And it worked on the first night, just like that. And then we did 2 weeks or 3 weeks of that show, and then went on a big tour. And by the end of the tour, it had turned into a proper act. So just luck and necessity. So it wasn't based on anybody. It was based on... God, I got to feel this moment, you know.
So totally ad-libbing.
Yeah, at the time, and then I sat down and did some work on it. But it was what I think. If I'd sat down to work the character out, it wouldn't have come out the way it has at all. It would have come out quite differently. But because it was about having to be on, and the idea really is that he doesn't have a name. The idea really is it's raining and you've come in out of the rain into a pub. And the bloke behind the bar starts on you. You don't even know who he is. You don't even know the name of the pub. You maybe don't know where you are. And he starts on you. It's sort of the thought behind it.
And does anyone ever get confused with you and the character?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Or they expect me to be more like him. And of course, the minute I open my mouth, I'm obviously quite different to the pub landlord. And I also, you know, I mean, your listeners can't hear the hair, but I've grown some hair and a beard and everything. So I'm not bald.
And when did you want to become a comedian?
Well, I went to university. I was very, very fortunate. I went to Oxford, and I was very, very fortunate that when I got there, there was a really great scene of people doing stand-up. And I fancied acting as a thing to do, because I'd done quite a lot of it at school. Fancied having a go, but was very nervous about auditioning, really. And I found there was a club where you could write material and just go on. And that, to me, seemed... a better way of finding out if I was any good at it than doing auditions, you know, because you get in front of an audience. It felt like there were the sort of less possibilities of it going wrong between me and performing, you know. So I was very, very fortunate, and I did that for a couple of years and really got involved in that. And then when I came out the other end of uni, it seemed like something worth trying, to be honest, which is sort of still my attitude, you know.
And you supported Paul Chambers' High Court campaign to
Yes.
overturn his conviction after sending a supposedly menacing tweet.
Yes.
And for listeners that aren't familiar, Paul is an accountant who sent a tweet joking that he was going to blow up an airport.
Well, no, he didn't even joke that he was going to blow it up. Crap, Robin Hood Airport is closed. He didn't say blow it up. I can't remember what it was.
Blow it sky high.
Yeah, blow it sky high. He didn't even, because it was reported often as a bomb tweet. And he'd never said that. And our dear legal system swung into action and disproportionately bludgeoned him with a law designed to stop websites for terror preachers or whatever, written in the wake of 9/11 and all that sort of thing. And I'm not going to say we got him off. The very clever council got him off. And in fact, the Lord Chief Justice went, hang on a minute, this is obviously, I am putting words in his mouth. He obviously thought, this is bollocks.
And why did this case strike a chord with you?
Well, I came across it when I just got on Twitter. I find Twitter incredibly exciting and interesting. And it was plainly and patently absurd. Limits of free speech are things that are really, really important to me as a comic. I completely understand that free speech isn't a license to say whatever you like and all that sort of thing, and it should be exercised responsibly and all those things. But nevertheless, the law is a blunt instrument that's wielded precisely, and so it was used very precisely on him in a blunt way. And even in this country where we think we have free speech, we don't, and we increasingly don't.
So is there anything you think comedians shouldn't joke about?
Well, yes, of course. If you can't make something funny, you shouldn't joke about it. And that's all it boils down to. There's a sensible people say stupid things about the idea of edge and limits of taste in comedy. A comic, for instance, like Frankie Boyle, to his audience, isn't edgy at all. He's doing exactly what they want him to do. If you put him in front of my mum, he's incredibly edgy. But so edges find themselves. For my audience, don't find what I say outrageous when I'm in character, because they know I'm in character and they know what they're getting from me. But you couldn't put me on at 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, these things are all simple questions of taste, and the law should never involve itself in questions of taste. It's a very old adage. Much cleverer person than me came up with that. These things all strike me as self-evident. And why we have things like watersheds and why we have things like ratings on stuff. And then everyone can make informed and sensible choices rather than jumping on the outrage bus.
What does the pub landlord think of human rights, and do you feel the same way?
The pub landlord thinks we've never had any rights in Great Britain up till now, and we've managed perfectly well without them. I, on the other hand, possibly take a different view. The huge irony at the moment is that the European Court of Human Rights was a thing established by the British government after the war. It's got nothing to do with the EU. It's got nothing to do with any of those bogeymen at the moment. And we led the way after the Second World War in establishing simple ideas of human rights in the wake of, at least one regime that didn't think they existed. So these things always strike me as so obvious. It's ridiculous even that we're even having to talk and ask each other about them.
I agree. Thank you very much, Al Murray.
My pleasure.